The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, August 24th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We got a show chock full of news, interviews, and information for you. We got to get right to it. So let's start with the introductions of everyone here in the crew. Joining me to my right, running the ship of state, it's Ganja John. He's back and better than ever.
What's up?
In Super 3D.
Super 3D.
Repping the Ducks.
Yeah, I love my ducks.
Oh, it's got a, your ducks love the weed too.
Yes, they do. They got That's
the,
very true.
They we got the need for weed and speed.
Yes.
Also joining us in the studio, we've got Wiz Khalifa down there on the end.
Aloha. Back.
You may also notice Cannabis Cure there in the background wearing the Token Daily shirt. Hey, Cure. Glad to have you in the studio. Craig is hanging out here as well in the studio. So we got all sorts of guests just chilling here at Roller J Studios. And, of course, in our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, the lovely Cannabis Carrie. Well, it's going really well. We're going to have to probably boost your sound a little bit, but we're glad to have you back without any delay.
That's good.
No kidding. So, Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So, what do we got in the news today?
Today, we're going to go to Arkansas and talk about their medical marijuana program. Also, I'm going to talk to you about Rhode Island, where some doctors there are actually asking for dispensaries. I'll tell you what that's all about. And I think you have a few stories, too, as well, right, Ross?
Right. We got some great stuff up on the Normal front page right now. A new study on student drug testing and whether or not it actually has any effect on whether kids do drugs or not. You could probably guess what we're going to tell you. Also, NASCAR of all the organizations, is banning one of their drivers for being a medical marijuana patient. We'll talk about that and more news in our hemp headlines as we can get to it. Also on today's show, it is Ivy Wednesday, so we'll be speaking with NorCal Perps. He's going to call in and give us some of that great Ivy music from Revolution, who's on tour right now with Slightly Stupid on the Seedless Summer Tour. Check out seedlesssummertour.com. Today is our Cannabis Science Day as well with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be joining us by Skype to answer your questions, your live questions through our chat room or by dialing in to 971-533-7111. And you can ask your questions of one of America's leading marijuana researchers, culture, history, science, medicine, anything you want to know about the cannabis plant, he can probably let you know. And then at the end of the show, a little time for government at work. We're going to be speaking with Valerie Green from the California Clemency Project and Jeff Clark as well. They're in Kern County, California, and they've got some news for us about the Kern County ban on medical marijuana grows, which seems to be a little bit illegal, but we'll see what's going on down there in Kern County and what you can do to help them out. We'll be right back after these messages. We're Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Check us out at live.normal.org and join into the chat room and make your voice heard with the rest of the cannabis community. We're right back after these messages.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
What's up, guys? I'm Rory from Revolution, chilling at the Spring Fest, San Bernardino, California. Just chilling at the Normal Live. Want to say what's up and keep it green.
Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at SeedlessSummerTour.com. Slightly Stupid.
We don't need no cocaine.
Revolution. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer. Coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
An Arkansas group is already gathering signatures to place a medical marijuana initiative on the November 2012 ballot. And now that effort is sparking a critical reaction from a local Christian conservative, traditional family values organization. In response to the group's efforts, medical marijuana activists have claimed that God is on their side too. Arkansas for Compassionate Care won approval in April to circulate petitions for the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Act. It needs to gather 62,507 valid voter signatures by next July to appear on that November 2012 ballot, and the group said it plans to gather double the required number to provide a large cushion in case large numbers of signatures are found to be invalid. The initiative would allow patients with serious illnesses like cancer, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, and PTSD, whose doctors recommend medical marijuana, to possess up to 2.5 ounces of pot. Also, patients would obtain marijuana from one of up to 30 state-regulated dispensaries, or if they don't live near a dispensary, they can designate a caregiver who could grow their own. Patients that live more than 5 miles away from a dispensary would be allowed to grow up to 6 plants. The group hopes to make Arkansas the first southern state to recognize the benefits and legalize medical marijuana, and they hope by starting the medical marijuana movement in the South, it will send a strong statement to Congress that patients nationwide deserve access to medical marijuana. But the Little Rock-based Family Council Action Committee issued a statement on Tuesday expressing concern about the measure. The group describes itself as a standing up for the traditional family values in the political arena, and it references scriptures as a guideline. It's best known for sponsoring a failed 2008 initiative effort that would have barred gays from adopting children. Their spokesperson, Jerry Cox, said that substance abuse creates real problems for families. He says that all the problems that marijuana causes now when it's illegal will be much more if it becomes legally available. He also said that after reading the bill, that if it passed, it would make Arkansas the most liberal state in the nation when it comes to marijuana. He said that they do have God on their side, but on the Arkansas for Compassionate Care website, they also have the same deity praise. And on their website, they have a section called Resources for the Faith Community page that begins with an exaltation from God to Zebediah to, quote, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. The page then lists 8 major religious denominations that support medical marijuana and their reasons for doing so.
seems odd, you know, when you actually read their founding document. And on the first page there, it says, God gave you all the herb-bearing seeds, and for you they shall be used as meat. Odd that we even have to have this discussion. And as far as Arkansas's bill would make it the most liberal on marijuana in the United States, I highly doubt that. I haven't actually read the Arkansas bill yet, but something tells me it's probably not going to be as expansive as Prop 215 in California. And as far as these family values, Christian conservative types, look, what more family value could you have than wanting to take care of a loved one who's suffering by providing them the safest therapeutically active substance known to man? That sounds like family values to me. But then again, a group that would bar gay people from helping children be parts of families, that's what you gotta expect.
And dispensaries have been tricky at best to get started in the medical marijuana states. Many of the programs have had legal challenges, gubernatorial challenges, and even illegal police challenges as this needed industry grows up. The Rhode Island's dispensary program has been one that has been on hold since the spring with the often cited pressure from the federal government. The governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, successfully blocked dispensaries from moving forward. In response to the Rhode Island Medical, the Rhode Island Medical Society has sent a letter to the governor letting him know that the largest group of doctors in the state think that the time for the delay is over. In the letter, they state that a regulated system of dispensaries is crucial in providing, quote, a source mechanism for patients to obtain their marijuana in a safe and legal manner. It requires appropriate scrutiny and oversight, allowing patients to obtain their marijuana in a controlled environment. And further delay in implementing this law only serves to deny relief to patients suffering from the qualifying medical conditions. Now, Society President Dr. Gary Bubley sent the letter to Governor Chafee and State Health Department Director Michael Fine. After 2 years of reviews and public hearing, the state announced in March that it had selected three dispensaries to grow and sell medical marijuana to Rhode Island's nearly 4,000 registered patients. But the very next month, U.S. Attorney Peter Nerona sent Chafee a letter warning him that people involved in large-scale drug production operations could face civil and criminal prosecution. That prompted Governor Chafee to block the issuing of licenses, pending clarification from Nerona and the U.S. Department of Justice. Chafee spokeswoman Christine Hunsinger told the Providence Journal Monday that the governor has received a copy of the Society's letter but has yet to review it. She did state that the governor's office continues to review what other states are doing regarding dispensing licensing and that his decision to place a hold on licensing in Rhode Island will remain in effect. Now, other states in the Northeast, including Delaware, Maine, and Vermont, ignored the federal threats and have moved ahead with licensing dispensaries. And last month, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie ended that state's hold on dispensaries in the face of threats, saying that providing licenses to the dispensary was a risk worth taking.
Here's another subject where it's odd that we even have to be having this discussion. I mean, think about the concept of medical marijuana that people have approved of. We've got people that are suffering. We've got people that are going to lose their sight. They're dying. They're in severe intractable pain or spasms or what have you, whatever the qualifying condition is. Okay, so we recognize that they're in severe, terrible, terrible distress, and we allow them to have an exception from the criminal prosecution of the laws for using cannabis, something that they've found to be very effective for their situation. But then we don't provide them a way to get any? Really, that almost seems more cruel than not letting them have it in the first place. Okay, it's legal for you to use it, take care of yourself, but only if the weed fairy drops it from the sky for you. Or you have to grow your own. And I'll tell you, I'm a pretty reasonably healthy middle-aged guy who knows some of the best growers on the planet. I'm having trouble growing marijuana. It is not easy. This is nothing we should expect someone going through cancer, chemotherapy, someone who's dealing with multiple sclerosis or epilepsy or migraine headaches or anything. They shouldn't have to be forced to grow their own any more than somebody who's got a prescription for Vicodin should be forced to set up a chemistry lab and import the raw ingredients and make their own Vicodin. Good for these Rhode Island doctors on demanding these dispensaries, and it's about time that we have them in all the rest of the states too. We have news from Normal that on the Normal front page we wanted to bring up to you. Students subjected to student drug testing programs are no less likely to report consuming illicit drugs, tobacco, or alcohol than their peers, according to survey data published online in the Journal of Youth and Adolescent. An international team of researchers from the United States, Israel, and Australia assessed the impact of school drug testing programs on a nationally representative sample of 943 high school students. students. Investigators reported that the imposition of such programs had no positive impact on males' self-reported drug use. Student drug screening programs were associated with minor reductions in females' self-reported drug history, but only among women who attended schools with positive environments. By contrast, investigators found that the enactment of drug testing programs in negative school environments were most likely to be associated with harmful effects on female youth. Authors reported, quote, consistent with previous research, students in schools that conduct drug testing do not report less substance use. In total, the results indicate that, to the extent drug testing is effective, it is primarily for female students in schools with positive climates, end quote. They concluded, quote, the current research expands on previous findings indicating that school drug testing does not, in and of itself, deter substance use. Indeed, drug testing appears to be particularly ineffective for female students in negative climate schools, which tend to have higher substance use rates and thus are in need, most need, of effective substance prevention programs. Interventions that improve school climate may have much greater efficacy. Thus, our findings indicate that drug testing should not be undertaken as a standalone substance prevention effort and that improvements in school climate should be considered before implementing drug testing, end quote. Now, what they're talking about with this school climate, negative and positive, is whether you go to one of the good schools or whether you go one to the bad schools, right? And they're saying that the drug testing programs in the bad schools make the drug problem worse for female students and have no difference in any type of school for male drug use. But we've known that for a long time, haven't we? We've known that drug testing really doesn't stop anybody from smoking a doob. What we do know, though, is getting them used to giving up their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights makes them a whole lot more compliant when they become adults. And another story about compliance and adults here at NASCAR. You know, NASCAR, the stock car racing auto sport, I guess, again shows its bias against marijuana by suspending a driver who legally uses medical cannabis. Now, we had reported previously about a car sponsored by Cannabis Planet TV, Brad Lane and those guys out there at Cannabis Planet, that actually built the Cannabis Planet NASCAR, and it got rejected, right? We can have cars running around with Budweiser on them and Viagra on them, but we can't have a car that has a Cannabis Planet pot leaf on it. Well, now we're reporting on a suspension of a driver named Ronnie Hultz. He's a NASCAR driver from Colorado, and he's a lawful medical cannabis patient and suspended for failing of the drug test that they have there in NASCAR. And for this to be coming from NASCAR, this is an organization, folks, that has its roots in the illegal trafficking of untaxed alcohol. NASCAR came about in the South as competitions between moonshiners, between Prohibition-era guys that were trafficking in illegal whiskey. And up until just recently, they were a major promoter of tobacco products. Up until the last decade or so, it was the Winston Cup. That was their Super Bowl, the Winston Cup, you know, sponsored by cigarettes. And currently, you got cars going around that track over and over again with, like I say, Viagra on them and all sorts of other pharmaceutical industry billboards. Now, there doesn't appear to be any indication that the driver, Mr. Hultz, was under the influence of medical cannabis while he was driving. And really, what's the problem? All these guys got to do is turn left. And one last quick story here. Joe Califano, our pal out there at CASA, the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse, is getting pretty desperate because he's now claiming there's a new study that shows teens that use Facebook are more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. In a statement, Joe Califano, the founder of CASA, said social networking sites like MySpace, Facebook, and others, which displayed images of teens abusing alcohol and drugs, quote, constitutes electronic child abuse, end quote. The time has come for those who operate and profit from social networking sites like Facebook to deploy their technological expertise to curb such images and to deny use of their sites to children and teens who post pictures of themselves and their friends drunk, passed out, or using drugs, Califano wrote. Continuing to provide the electronic vehicle for transmitting such images constitutes electronic child abuse. In its August study, CASA report said that teens that spent some time on a social networking site were 5 times more likely to use tobacco, 10% versus 2%, 3 times more likely to use alcohol, 26% versus 9%, and twice as likely to have used marijuana, 13% versus 7%, than teens that did not visit social networking sites at all during a given day. Well, folks, let me clue you in on this. You know who is more likely to be visiting a social networking site? Someone with a computer and with internet access. And you know who's more likely to be doing that? Kids that have some money. And kids that have some money are more likely to be doing what? Able to spend it on things like marijuana. There is no causality in this study whatsoever. It's ridiculous on its face. And when we get some time, we'll talk to Dr. Mitch about that at half past the hour.
What do you think about a break, Russ?
I think it's warm in here.
Yeah, it's very
warm. I think
we'll
take a break, and we'll be right back right after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would tell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Peter Tosh for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write NORML, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help Normal to help protect your rights.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Play more, play more. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, our pal NorCal Perps is back on the line to bring us some more Irie-ness. How you doing, NorCal?
Not too bad. How you doing today, Russ?
Oh, fantastic. A little warm in the studio, but we'll get by.
Yeah, it's rather warm down here, too.
So have yourself a good time at the Seattle Hemp Fest this last weekend.
Oh yeah, I had an amazing time. I'm so glad to get a chance to meet up with you guys again. Get a chance to meet Keystrop and Alan and Vivian and just all the legends that are out there. All the great people that have been doing so much work since before I was even born.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing that perspective too. I keep forgetting that we got a whole generation of people here that are new to the movement and meeting some of these people. Wow. I'm glad you had yourself a good time. So, we got some Irie Wednesday music here from one of the groups on the Seedless Summer Tour, right?
Yeah. Went ahead and decided since I haven't gotten a chance to play any Revolution myself on Irie Wednesdays, I was going to go ahead and play them. I've been a fan of them for quite some time. So, figured why not play them this week.
Good idea.
So coming from Santa Barbara, they were originally formed in 2004. They spent 2004-2005 building a small movement, playing small local shows and independently releasing their tracks. Then in July of 2007, they released Courage to Grow, which was their breakthrough album. iTunes Editor's Choice Reggae Best Album of the Year 2007. And Courage to Grow also peaked at number 4 on the Billboard Reggae charts. So here is Revolution with Heart Like a Lion.
All right, Heart Like a Lion, Revolution. Check them out.
A copy of that song for your iPod. Check out the Daily Tucker tune.
I have to get that tune up here for us. And this is where
and choosing media. Stop and then Tucker tunes from the main menu.
We're doing it live. We've changed a few things in the studio, and I've got to get that tune loaded up in. That was the one thing I did not do. So we will get that for you here in just a second. New problem here. Revolution, Heart Like a Lion for your Irie Wednesday Daily Tucker tunes.
Burning like fire, waiting just to be set free. A heart like a lion, a burning like fire. How can I bear captivity? Remember that nothing is carved in stone. Oh, tell me why we are so afraid of. The secrets are locked within our souls. 'Cause everything that we're made of is dying just to be exposed. Don't turn your back on yourself, 'cause there's nowhere to run, and you know your life in a practice run. It's time to wake up your mind. Oh yeah, yeah. Or maybe tomorrow will never come, or maybe it will, but by then it's too late. There's nothing left to do but cry. Oh yeah. And now you cry.
Don't know why.
Don't know why.
And now you cry.
Now you cry.
But you don't know why.
Don't know why.
So what you wanna be now? Well, it's time to realize that everything you need now has been right in front of your eyes. Yeah, but don't point your fingers and blame. Remember, it's never too late to change. Don't point your fingers and blame. Remember, it'll be okay. Just don't turn your back on yourself, cause there's nowhere to run. And you know your life in a practice run. It's time to wake up your mind. Oh yeah. Maybe tomorrow will never come, or maybe it will, but by then it's too late. There's nothing left to do but cry. Oh yeah. And now you cry,
now you cry.
But you don't know why.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to Normal Show Live.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Guys, here we go. We've got the top six answers on the board. Name something that gets passed around. Chris.
A joint.
A joint.
This is Normal Show Live, where a joint is always the right answer.
Now, Chris, I don't know what 100 people you thought we were talking to at some nice little mall across good old America, but I'm pretty sure the people didn't tell the survey people, hey, an illegal drug. Let's turn around and see how many weed heads are out there with Chris. A joint!
Beep.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now, here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Dr. Mitch joins us every Wednesday. And how are you doing, sir?
Having a great day. How about yourself?
Fantastic. I don't know if you were too far north. Did you feel that earthquake out there on the East Coast?
I must have been in the car at the time with the kids, and they were jumping around anyway, so I didn't even notice.
Okay. Folks, we want to let you know that we've got our new chat room at Ustream, and you can ask your questions for Dr. Mitch in the chat room. A nice handy little way to do so is if you start your question with Q and then a colon and a space, it'll put this nice icon on it. It makes it really easy for us to pick out the questions. Also, you can call us in live at 971-533-7111 if you've got any questions for Dr. Mitch. As we collect questions, we're going to start with Dr. Mitch's opportunity here to tell us what's new in the world of cannabis science. Any new studies we need to know about?
Sad to say, my internet connection is down, so unless something came out today, I'm just not noticing anything new.
Okay, well, I've got something for you that we bring to you from our good friend, Joe Califano, out there at CASA, so you know it's going to be good. He's got a new study out that says that that using Facebook, that teens that use Facebook use more drugs, and said that they're five times more likely to use tobacco, three times more likely to use alcohol, and twice as likely to use marijuana as teens that don't use Facebook. And part of what he's trying to shoehorn in here is this idea that when teens see pictures of their friends drunk or high on Facebook, they're more likely to use drugs or alcohol. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that, but any preliminary thoughts?
Well, if we think about it, the two teens who aren't using Facebook. Now, this is a sampling error. I mean, in a sense, we were already sorting these people by, you know, do you use Facebook or not? And that co-varies with so many things that we know should predict a whole bunch of things, including having enough cash to be able to buy marijuana or tobacco or something like that. Sometimes an increase in boredom susceptibility. So, I mean, there are all these other correlates that I think are the issue. The tacit assumption that this has to do with exposure to others using drugs or alcohol or anything like that is, shall we say, only a correlation at best.
Yeah, and you know, the other direction he goes on this is starting to kind of call out the Facebook founders and their engineers and all, and saying, you know, we need to do more to stop kids from posting these pictures and stop them from using this account. And it just seems very censorious and very, you know, anti-free speech to me.
You got to admit, the First Amendment ought to stand for something.
Yeah. All right. We've got some questions coming in from our chat room, and our first one asks, does cannabis use help calm ADHD?
We do have data that at least suggests that people think this is the case, and my student Joey DeLeo just sent me an email showing that our data suggests that the folks who believe that are also the ones who seem to use in accordance with the severity of their symptoms, so it certainly seems like that's the case.
Okay. We have a question asking here, is there any way to speed up the natural detox in overweight people? And I imagine this would be, you know, in trying to study for a special test.
Alas, the only things that would do so are the same things that speed up metabolism more generally. So exercise, you know, anything that basically increases your metabolism more generally would also apply in this case.
Okay. And, of course, you know, a lot of people are out there worried about a drug test for their employment, their school, whatever it might be. And there's a lot of products out there that, you know, claim, you know, drink this and do this within a certain number of hours and it'll clean you out, it'll flush you out. Is there any credence to any of these products that claim to be detoxifiers or enhancers or cleansers of any kind?
There's at least one study showing that the shampoos that claim to get metabolites out of the hair do actually work, although it often requires repeated administration and things like that. But I'm noticing that a lot of journals are no longer publishing these kinds of studies, and I think that the data on the evil twins of drug testing and anti-drug testing are going to kind of disappear in the scientific literature because people are starting to wonder if maybe these two groups are in cahoots.
Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine here in our Cannabis Science segment, taking your questions at 971-533-7111 or via our chat room. And we got another question coming from the chat room. Are there any studies that actually link marijuana to schizophrenia in any valid way with causation instead of just correlation?
We've only seen stuff in humans across time that is correlational, and I find that most of these do a bad job of controlling for hard drug use. So my student Nicholas Von Dahm and I published a paper showing that, in fact, if people are willing to fess up to having used cocaine or amphetamine, those are the folks who end up showing these schizotypal symptoms or brief psychotic symptoms or things like that. And so I worry that some of these other studies that are blaming marijuana are actually confounded by hard drug use, particularly those that are done in countries where it's probably okay to fess up to using marijuana but not okay to fess up to cocaine or amphetamine use. And in fact, my honors student Lauren Grady is going to start a study on that in the fall.
Okay. And so what these people are trying to do when they say, because we hear this all the time, you know, marijuana leads to schizophrenia. We find the schizophrenics that have used marijuana in the past. They had earlier onset of their schizophrenia, et cetera. How are they wrong in claiming that?
Well, what has happened, Timmy Moffitt's group had some of the best data out of New Zealand, and it suggested that folks with a certain genetic risk who also used marijuana heavily early in life, more than 50 times before age 18, they really were more likely to get a schizophrenic diagnosis or some kind of psychotic diagnosis. But when you break down their percentage of this stuff, it turned out there were really only 7 people in that group, so I didn't want to make too much of that. Then another study came out saying, oh, we found another genetic risk that does the same thing, but in fact they failed to replicate the first one. So I'm apprehensive about this and sad that the media jumps on the ones that say marijuana does cause schizophrenia, and anytime anything counters that, it gets no press at all.
Yeah, of course. All right, I love this next question. Does eating after smoking take away from the high? I know when people drink, they think, you know, if I drink and then I eat something, it'll soak it up or whatever. Anything like that for marijuana?
Literally everyone I know claims, you know, as my grandmother used to say, eat and you'll blow your buzz. But we don't have.
I like your grandmother, by the way. That's
a We don't have any compelling pharmacological reason for why that would be the case. If you were doing an orally administered, you know, an edible, that might make some sense if other foods are getting in the way from absorption. But for smoked cannabis, it's already up in your brain, so it really doesn't make a ton of sense for that to be the case. I noticed that the correlates of eating are also things that tend to decrease your high as well, though. People aren't often running around or dancing or doing things like that when they're eating. Mm-hmm. And it may be just sitting down and mellowing out a little makes you realize, oh, gee, I'm not quite as high as I thought I was.
I have a hypothesis on this. I think maybe people part of the sense of being high is that nagging munchy feeling. And maybe by eating and losing the nagging munchy feeling, they feel like they're less high.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
We'll have to test that. I'm sure we can find some test subjects. We'll bring Yellowwana cake in to cook for us. All right, we have a great question here on, let's see, is there any small amount of marijuana you can smoke and still be clean on a drug test, or can just one hit do you in for a drug test?
Because there's so much individual variation in all of us and in the cannabis that's out there, there's no one amount that I could say, hey, this is safe for everybody. I do, however, recommend getting on the internet and getting those little marijuana test strips and giving it a try yourself. I'm embarrassed how much time I've spent that doing that because, of course, I have to study for my tests too. And it's really the kind of thing where your own individual data are the only ones that really matter. So by all means, investing in a little time and effort on that is worthwhile.
All right. We are talking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. The phone line here is 971-533-7111. We've moved the Skype to a different machine, though. So if you got a busy signal, it might have been our error on this side. But you can try calling in again. But I hate to have to say that because we're out of time here. We just have our chance to say goodbye. So Dr. Mitch Earlywine, thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
It's always a pleasure, and I look forward to talking next week.
All right. When we come back, we are going to be speaking with Valerie Green and Jeff Clark from the California Clemency Project in Kern County, California. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live. Normal.
This is Normal Show Live.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working.
What's that?
I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or has someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. Normal even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's N-O-R-M-L.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
NORMAL stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local NORMAL chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for a change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
All right, welcome back, and I want to thank our next guest for being on the show today. We've scheduled them a couple of times to be here, and in each time there's been some sort of emergency that's popped up and we haven't been able to get them on, but they're here now and we're very happy to speak to them because there's a situation going on in Kern County, California that is really troubling. And we're going to be speaking with Jeff Clark from the California California Clemency Project. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
How you doing, Russ?
Oh, we're doing really good. And again, my apologies for the booking mistakes, but glad to finally get you on the air.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you did get me on because we are having a big problem here in Kern County. And our Board of Supervisors has taken it on their own to set a limitation on medical cannabis plants to 12 plants per parcel here in
right.
Kern County.
If I'm not mistaken, in SB 420, it set a floor for how many plants you could have, but not an upper bound, right?
Right. Well, actually, that was overturned in 2001 by People versus Kelly, mm-hmm. where it was the Supreme Court decision that the number of plants is strictly a doctor-patient number.
Right. So the county now thinks that, you know, they can limit you to 12 plants even if your doctor says you need, you know, 2 dozen, 3 dozen, 4 dozen.
Right, right. And the county is also not following basic SB4. Anything. They're not following 215. They're not following constitutional law. We filed a referendum here in Kern County. We're getting the signatures for a vote, which is going to cause them a special election, which actually falls 10 days before their general election and will cost the county about $3 million. And Craig Buresh of the California Cannabis Coalition has spearheaded it up here.
Craig, by the way, just to interject here, is also now on the board of our new San Diego County Normal that's going to be helping out with some of these things, too.
It is way more severe than any of the other counties have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 9,000 signatures approximately so far. We actually started with the correct petition signature form about 8 days ago. 9 days ago, and we've got 15 days left. We need 17,300 signatures, and we've got petition companies in. We've put in, but being on the internet, we just need help from people here in California, registered voters, get them out there, and if they can come help us petition, anything is needed here. And they're breaking the law. They've opened themselves up, even at the supervisors' meeting. The Teresa Goldner, the county, chief county counsel, advised them of the Kelly decision and said that it would be unconstitutional to set a numbering on the plans. And yet the Board of Supervisors went ahead and passed it that day, an emergency ordinance. And the biggest problem being is that they're using the whole cannabis issue here in Kern County to cover up with the media, actually, a whole bunch of officer-involved shootings, which have resulted in deaths of Kern County, unarmed Kern County citizens. Hmm. So they're using the media like this cannabis is an emergency thing, you know.
Now, we are dialing out to Valerie Green from the California Clemency Project as well. We've been having some troubles getting her on. Valerie?
Radical Russ.
Hi, Valerie. Welcome to the call here. We switched over our call duties, and so we're kind of scrambling, but we're finally glad to get you online. Valerie Green from California Clemency Project. Welcome to Normal Show Live.
Hi. Thank you, Russ.
Well, we've been sitting here speaking with Jeff Clark as well on this whole Kern County issue, and the supervisors saying, you know, now there's a 12-plant limit, and give us your take on this situation.
Well, the situation is they have cut our access to the point of caregivers not being able to provide for their members. Most average patients, 215 patients who are compliant, do not even understand what goes into the process of growing marijuana. They have someone else do that for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you limit a caregiver to 12 plants, there's honestly no way they're going to be able to provide for patients.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I've seen gardens of that size, and I think what a lot of people don't understand is, like, cannabis is not, you know, something that's very consistent from time to time. There, you might have a good crop one harvest and a bad crop another harvest. You might have a power outage and lose some plants along the way.
Well,
I mean, you're lucky if you can get all 12 plants to flower.
A vegetable farmer cannot tell you what his crop is going to be
right
from one season to the next. Now, myself, another issue with the 12-plant limit, myself, I ingest cannabis. I prefer to do so because I think it's more helpful. I think it's a better application towards the ailments that I medicate for. And when you ingest cannabis, quite a bit more raw product material goes into the making of said medication.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's anywhere 2 to 4 times more, if I understand from some of the cannabis cooks out there. We're speaking
Absolutely.
With Valerie Green from California Clemency Project. Jeff Clark is also on the line. And Jeff was mentioning a special election that would have to do with this issue. Can you fill us in a bit about that, Valerie?
What we are doing now is we are trying to get a we filed for temporary restraining order against the injunction to remove the grows, which are compliant with 215 under the 99-plant limit. We are also gathering signatures as we speak, and we need people to step up volunteerism on this. If you want to save your shops, the outdoor grows, and the medibles, get down there and volunteer to gather signatures. If we can get 20,000 signatures, we can put this to a special election.
Okay. And of course, the cost of that, you know, Jeff was saying something around $3 million. It seems sad that the Kern County wants to go to the mat on this and spend all that taxpayer money when doesn't it seem like the outcome is pretty much going to be on our side, given the state of California law and court decisions?
Given the state of California law, the court decision, and not only that, but the public opinion in California and in Kern County in general, they are going to have to look long and hard at the fact that that would be so costly to even entertain the notion of fighting us on that issue that I seriously doubt that they will press the issue at that point.
Yeah, it's just not worth it for them politically or financially. And so if people want to get involved and help you guys out with what the activities there of California Clemency Project, and actually before we say that, what exactly is the California Clemency Project? What are your goals?
Jeff, we'll let you step in here if you like.
Basically, number one goal is to stop the cannabis arrests in California. Number two, to get the people that are imprisoned or incarcerated out of jail for nonviolent cannabis crimes. And I really don't care if they had 100 plants or 400 plants. It's a plant. It's as simple as that. It's our God-given right to grow a plant. It's our God-given right to treat ourselves the way we want to treat ourselves. If we want to take a pill from Big Pharmaceutical and sell yourselves out, that's cool. But I prefer to do it, you know, herbally, and I don't think that people should be prosecuted for making that choice. And I don't like my tax dollars paying for $78,000 a year for the 1,600 people each, for the 1,600 people that are in prison in California for nonviolent cannabis charges. And Senator Leno in December, I believe, in Berkeley, told me that there were 65,000 arrests every year at a minimum court cost of $1,000.
Wow.
So that's $6.5 million right there, and then you throw another $80 million on top of it. You got $90 million a year if you just stop busting people for cannabis. And that's the main goal. But I've been an activist for 40 years, and Valerie's energy and her passion for the fight, you know, for our civil rights, has just re-energized me. And all I can say is look out for the California Clemency Project, because we're going to be filing petitions all over the state. We're going to get Petty Lepp. We're going to get all these people that should not be out of prison.
If I might add at this point, also a goal of California Clemency Project is to stop the discrimination that happens in such a widespread manner against anyone who chooses to pursue medicinal cannabis as an alternative medication to these pharmaceutical poisons that are destroying their lives. Not only are they seeking medicinal cannabis as an alternative medication, they're seeking it as a supplicant to ease the suffering caused by pharmaceutical medications and cures. So we need to bring down the discrimination. We need to further research advancement, and we need to show these people for who they are. They are normal citizens. They are good taxpaying, voting mothers, fathers, uncles. This is someone's son or daughter. You need to think about that before you point your finger at them and discriminate against them so harshly, and I see it every day.
Yes, yes, indeed. So if people want to get involved with the California Clemency Project, give them email, phone numbers, websites, Facebook, anything they need to know to contact you guys.
Basically one word, California Clemency Project at Gmail.
All right, California Clemency Project at gmail.com. And Valerie Green, also there.
You can also, you can contact me. I'm a patient awareness advisory specialist in Kern County. If you would like to know more about marijuana or more about what is going on with marijuana, you can contact me on Facebook, Valerie Green, and that's Green with an E at the end.
All right, and what's the next date we're looking at as far as the timeline on this issue with them going forward with elections or anything else?
September the 9th. We need to have our signatures in by September the 8th.
All right. So let's get those signatures in Kern County. Get a hold of California Clemency Project. Valerie Green is out there, Green with an E on the end, and Jeff Clark. They're working hard to help all of you, not just the medical users, but also everyone. We need to stop arresting people in California and everywhere around the world for using, like you said, just a plant. Valerie, Jeff, thanks so much for being here on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Radical Russ, for putting our issue at the front.
Oh, glad to do it. Glad to do it. All right, folks. Well, that's it for the show today. Thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation. And yes, the entire Normal Network is now on Ustream.tv. The redirect is working, so you can tell your friends live.normal.org. Also, another great redirect, normal.tv. is the new address of the Normal YouTube channel, normal.tv, for all of the great videos. Check out This Week in Weed, your weekly recap of the news in video form that you can embed, share, link to, etc. For everybody here at Roll J Studios, Ganja John, Cannabis Cure UK, Wiz Calico, Craig, and of course Cannabis Carry in Astoria, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!